This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back and better than ever in 2015. This is episode 374 for January 6th in the new year. And this is Martin Spriggs and a show about technology and ministry. And joining me as usual in 2015 now, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally. How was your new year?
Oh, it was awesome, Martin. I told a few people I hadn't given it any thought whatsoever, but when I opened my eyes on whatever day that was, Thursday morning, whatever it was, and it was 2015, I thought immediately, wow, I'm going to turn 50 this year. Like, out of the blue, welcome to the new year.
God has a way of just reminding us of our own humanity, and that's okay.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with 50. It's not a lot different than 49. And yeah, at least you're
AARP,
not in mind that you have to, that you hide the age. So
it's, no.
You're right out there for everybody now.
Proud of it. Yep. Excited for it, actually.
You're a survivor, yeah.
Excited for this show today, Martin. It's a really fun show for us to put together because we get to kind of reflect on the previous year and all the technology and ministry things that have happened in 2014.
Wells Tech tradition these days, and that's the ability to take a look back, and I'm assuming one of our upcoming shows will take a look forward. But it's fun to kind of look over 52 shows. We've covered a lot of territory. We did a lot of different things, and we have our highlights and lowlights. We'll focus on the highlights, as is also our tradition this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know about you, Martin. I kind of reflected personally a little as well, and I think if I were to categorize 2014 for technology, for me, the one thing that rises to the top is that I did a lot of Google stuff and a lot of Google site work, and I guess I wouldn't have predicted that Google Sites would become a go-to web platform for me, but it is free and easy to do once you learn the tricks around how to make it work for you. And we've put a lot of effort into our Wells Tech Wiki. We built that on the Google Sites platform. I redid all the final web documentation, put that on a Google Sites platform. So 2014 will go down in history as a Google Sites year for me.
Well, with your laundry list there, I feel totally inadequate. It didn't seem like I did anything.
Maybe just a mobile app or so?
We released a mobile app over the holidays, which was the good news. That was a labor of love, as usual. And hopefully that'll be ongoing in 2015. I think mobile in general is a theme we'll see in 2015, but it was also a theme of 2014. I think in most of our shows we talked about mobile quite a lot and its application for ministry, which is really the point of the show. So hopefully we'll continue to kind of zero in on those things that are helpful to our listeners and viewers. And in our prayer before the show, I pray that, boy, the opportunities that God is going to present in 2015 for everybody will be taken advantage of, because God is providing those tools for us, and it's our job to figure out which ones to use, when to use them to His glory.
Super exciting stuff. So, like last year, Martin, we kind of organized this show around different things that happen throughout the year, and
our
maybe we should start our discussion with events that took place in 2014.
All right, go right ahead.
My turn again, huh? All right, and the one that popped out in my mind was the fact that we were together for the Kettle Moraine Lutheran Tech and Teach event. It happened in early June, and we actually, I think we both presented there, as well as doing the podcast live from that location. We kind of corralled a few of our Wells Tech friends, Kurt Gosdick and Rachel Pearson, to sit in with us on that show and talked about all kinds of cool stuff. It was a good day and a great chance to be around maybe 200 or so educators from the Kettle Moraine High School Association.
Yeah, and that reminds me that James Karlofsky at the time was at Kettle. He was kind of the brains behind that effort, and which was really a good thing to see. It was, you know, right after school was over, and they decided we're going to spend some time talking about technology in the classroom. And they had a lot of good people come in and give presentations. And now James is up at New Ulm, kind of doing the same thing, that technology focus. And it's interesting how God moves his people around and to the good of the kingdom there as well. So it was, I enjoyed the time as well. That was one of my favorite moments, just kind of the interview process of, you know, having other people around and getting other people involved with the show, friends of the show. So,
yeah, special shout out to James. He is my coworker at MLC now, and we're enjoying working with Dr. Jim Grunwald as well on different technology efforts. I will give a plug to James because he's got a tech and teaching activity going on right now with the faculty, and I believe they're having a series of Google Hangouts tomorrow to just get them oriented to the Google Hangout environment. So he's got a lot of cool stuff going on at MLC, and he just recently finished the Google certification process with a series of exams required for that. So yeah. James is a blessing for sure at MLC.
That's kind of an interesting threshold that a lot of organizations are either reached in 2014 or will reach in 2015, where they're, that obstacle of the technology is standing between them and ministry, like Google Hangouts. You know, that it's hard, that, you know, you got to get the account, you got to know how these video conferencing things work, you need to understand your webcam and all this other stuff. I think as the years go by, that becomes less and less a barrier. That technology becomes more of your friend and enabler versus that thing that, you know, is really kind of blocking really what you want to do. So ministry, I think, will really benefit by God's grace through just our comfort level, maybe we could call it, with technology. That's what we try and do here on the show too. There'll always be new things to learn, but I think as you get some of those heavy hitters out of the way, like video conferencing and social networking and those kinds of things, ministry is the winner.
I totally agree, Martin. I guess the word I think of is ubiquitous, and the fact that we use our word processing software, for instance, without thinking nowadays.
Right.
And making it do all the different formatting and layouts and things that we want it to do. It's part of who we are, and that's pretty universal and expected. And I think as things like video conferencing or just creating websites or whatever it may be becomes more and more of a given for everyone, the world's going to look a lot different.
That's probably a good segue to an exciting event coming up in 2015, which we began work for in 2014, and that's the Wells Tech Conference, July 9th to 11th. We're just kind of nailing down all the speakers and workshops, and all of those topics that we're seeing are really, could be very helpful in ministry, whether that be in the classroom, or in the church, or in outreach fields, or wherever, just getting a lot of smart people together to give those presentations. And there's not a one of them that I think we've got on the docket now, of however many we've got, 50 or 100, that are that I wouldn't mind sitting through, and I'm sure I would learn something from.
Definitely. So if you guys are just learning about the Wells Tech Conference, you need to head over to wells.net/WellsTechConf. CONF, and what you're going to find there is information about the dates, July 9th through 11th, the location, Country Springs Hotel and Conference Center in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Pricing will be $199 for conference, plus your travel and lodging will add on to that somewhat. But there's a form you can fill out and give us your name and email address, and we'll let you know as soon as the registration opens up. That'll be early February, February 1st. So just about a month away when you can actually start registering for the conference.
So really get on your calendar and begin the conversations with the leadership at your church or school to help you out with the cost of sending you there. It'll be worth every penny, and it really is a deal for everything that you're getting with the meals and the presentations and the opportunity for networking. Just a really good 3 days if you go to the pre-conference workshops, which are also a bargain if you take a look at the site. So. Good deal. Should we move along to what's the next segment here, Sally?
Well, maybe we should talk about some of our... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You want to do tech and ministry next, that segment?
I like that. Except I don't see it on my mind map. Oh, I do. New and notable tech
wiki administ- migration. That was the big one there.
Absolutely, Martin. You hit the nail on the head with that, and I actually have it up on my screen. I'll do a quick screen share for those watching the video. You can get to our Wells Tech Wiki now at wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net because it is on a Google site. We include that GApps in there for our domain name. And we reorganized the wiki. It was kind of the Wild Wild West. There was a whole lot of great information in our prior wiki, but it wasn't very organized at all. So now you can jump to Bible, church, communication, infrastructure, office, planning and policy, or school. Those are our main categories, and as you drill down into any of those, then you can see sub-level pages and get to all kinds of great information about technology and ministry. So do check it out. The great news is you can easily request an account. There's a link at the top to request an account. We'll get you added to the editing privileges on the wiki, and then you can go in and add your information wherever it may fit and help us keep it all up to date and current. After all the work we put in over our summer series, Martin, we definitely want the wiki to represent things well.
Grow and grow. Yeah, I was updating one page today and referencing another. Somebody was asking about copyright information today, so I pointed them to our very lengthy copyright page there on the Wells Tech Wiki. And also somebody gave me a link to their live streaming service, and we have a page on the wiki that tries to capture all of the congregations who have who are streaming their services live. And I'm sure that's woefully incomplete, so if you want to take a look at the wiki and that page in particular, and if your church is live streaming, let's get it up there on the page for everybody to check out.
For sure. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone. If you go ahead and ask for an account and make those changes, you're going to be learning how to use a Google site in the process, and it's really easy to do, and there's even a link on the page that shows you how to edit things and what icons you should be looking for and that kind of thing. So
I'm sure there's people out there with New Year's resolutions that have to do with, getting a little Google smarts in them. They're
Google
into the classroom. Sally, next segment, and this is kind of a fun one, favorite episodes of 2014. We had 52 to choose from, and there were a lot of highlights, I think, over this past year, maybe even more than any other year, so it's kind of hard to choose. What was one of your favorite episodes of 2014?
Well, one that jumped out at me was one from April, Martin. We make it our policy to do education topics. Typically, we have an education focused co-host, either Gail Potratz or Jason Schmidt, join us on the last show of each month throughout the school year. This is one that I believe Gail joined us on, and on this show, we specifically talked about school technology planning. It kind of stemmed from an email that Jenny Adelmeyer from St. John's in Lemire, Wisconsin, sent to a group of friends that she knew to be techie. And she just kind of posed the question, what's the best direction for us to go in terms of technology? This is where we're at. I'm supposed to do technology. I'm not quite sure where to go. And from that, she just got a wealth, like a tidal wave of great information from this group of techies. And it included a lot of different people from around the Synod. Gail and Jason were both in the email conversation, as was Justin Leppert and others. And so what we did was we kind of compiled all that great information, and we actually put together a slideshow out on SlideShare that had the information in it and posted it out there. And this one jumps to mind in particular because this slideshow actually has had almost 899 views since that April release. And I thought that was really important and pointed to the fact that there's a lot of people in Jenny's same shoes. So a lot of people are at this somewhat of a crossroads with education and technology and wondering where to invest their dollars, how best to enhance education, not make technology the star, that's not what it's about, but have the tools in place to give the students the opportunities to use technology when appropriate in the classroom. And so not just with our normal Wells Tech audience, but expanding beyond that, this is obviously a big issue. So that was one of my favorites for sure. What about you, Martin? What shows stood out to you?
The big one for me was one we did back in fall, September, called The State of Social Media. One of the neat things about this show, this Wells Tech show, even though we have Wells in the name, is sometimes we get, we certainly have viewers that aren't Wells members, but sometimes we get people to interview that aren't Wells members either, and that was the case in this show where we had Lauren Hunter, who was a social media consultant or a church technology consultant. And it's always kind of nice to get fresh perspective. Not that I don't enjoy our Wells-based guests, because they bring a lot to the table as well. But it's sometimes good to get a little fresh perspective, an outside perspective. And that's what Lauren brought. She had some great resources, and that's going to be one of my favorite picks, too, one of the things that she had something to do with. But just kind of the general conversation, a very important conversation around social media and where that where that's headed and how churches and schools might be making better use of it, that kind of stood out for me as one of the better shows of the year.
Very good. And I think we both would agree that our book series are always of interest to us. I get an added benefit by having the opportunity to read a book for work and learn and discuss along with you, Martin, and those who are following it as well. And in the fall of 2013, we kicked off a book series called The Shallows. And that turned out to be a really great read. It was subtitled What the Internet is Doing to Our Brain. And it was interesting to kind of explore that topic and discuss the effect that this new way of thinking is having on outreach as well. Not just, from an education perspective, obviously we want to be able to teach our children who are learning with different styles now and that kind of thing, but also from the outreach perspective and what kind of media maybe will appeal to those we're trying to reach and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we had some interesting conversations throughout that book where we agreed, and we also agreed to disagree on a number of topics. And we got to talking about paperless versus, kind of that analog world. And that's kind of fun, too. And we had a whole show on paperless as well. That was one of my favorite episodes. So, and actually, that's one of my New Year's resolutions is to kind of go more paperless. But and that's okay. And it's important to understand the ramifications of all it. And that's what that book was really good at. It kind of did a really deep dive into what that means and what the screens are doing and what they could potentially do. And it makes you take a step back and kind of consider what it is that's going on in your world. So if you haven't read it, pick up a copy, whether it be a paper copy or a digital copy, and read through it. It's a very interesting read.
Definitely. And the book we're doing now, I think, What's Best Next, is also going to rank for me as one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's changed the way I do things already. I haven't even finished the book yet, so.
Yep, I'm doing things a little different myself as well. Martin, just talking about paper versus paperless, it brings back all those wonderful debates we've had. And I also remember kind of a dividing line that happened on one of our episodes, and I can't remember when we had a conversation about whether you wear a watch or not. And I found out that the fact that I wear a watch and still rely on this this connected media, not on my cell phone screen or whatever it may be to tell time, made me kind of a digital dinosaur. So that's kind of been my dividing line now. Anytime I do a presentation or whatever, I always survey the audience to see how many people are wearing watches, and it tells me something about my audience. So
yeah. Well, I am wearing a watch right now.
Woot! So. I'm actually not, but I'm not going to tell you that.
But this is a nice world watch, so it actually pulls the time. It's got some technology built in, so so it pulls the time from the atomic clock where Boulder, I guess it's in. And it's solar, so.
Oh, very
cool. I like
cool.
the tech part of it. But I'll be interested to see kind of the advancement of watches through. I think 2015 will be the year of the watch. The Apple Watch will come out, and I'm sure some of the other, we're hearing from CES, some of the other watches coming out from Samsung and Sony that I'm mostly interested in those that, not so much that kind of are an extension of the phone, but do a lot of the health stuff. So they'll, you know, do constant heart rate monitoring and steps and that kind of stuff. So yeah. Mostly interested in from that perspective. And they do tell the time. So
oh, yeah.
You know, pull your phone out of your pocket or purse to see what time it is. Should we move into the ever-popular Picks of the Year segment? Sally, you want to lead off with maybe, well, I picked three. Actually, I cheated. I got four in here. But
and I
you
have
actually
five.
Have four as well. So.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Okay. Or maybe five.
Maybe five.
What were your favorites of the year, your favorite picks?
I'll start with a pick that is kind of simple. It's Google Forms. And the fact that Google Forms is continually updating and adding new features just makes it something that stands out to me. It's super easy to develop an online form, to embed it on your website, or just link to it. And this year, Google especially added the ability to get real particular about your formatting of your form. So you can use a lot more of their pre-formatted formats, or you can select any of them, and they have the ability to customize. And then when you customize, you can get really granular with the way things look on the form. So lots more options. So maybe I like a particular layout, but I'm not that into the imagery that they've chosen for it, so I can choose some different imagery or whatever. And I just think adding that versatility with the themes, packaged with all of the capabilities of the forms, all the different question types. Again, they're constantly updating. So if you choose different question types, now you can choose for them to be shuffled, or shuffling even the order of the questions on the whole form. Just lots and lots of versatility here. Looks like a pretty simple tool on the outside, just with a quick look at it, but it doesn't play out that way. It plays out as super versatile and very powerful, and just a really great tool. I love teaching people how to use it, and especially educators just seem to get really excited when they know that they can use forms in their classroom for testing and feedback on all different things. So
lots of use cases for it, both in the classroom but also at the congregation level. Lots of reasons to want to interact with the people that you communicate with and get that inbound feedback or inbound information that's necessary to kind of cement the relationships, whether it be volunteers who are signing up for something, or time and talent surveys, or PBS registration, or whatever it is. So lots of
it's like we talked about earlier. It's like a tool in your tool belt that's just going to become ubiquitous, that you're going to be able to make use of with ease, and
yep.
And that's exciting.
One thing I should ask you, Sally, talking about mobile, are Google Forms mobile friendly?
I don't know the answer.
Up on a mobile device?
I'm thinking they are, but I don't know. I'll have to test that out.
I stumped her already in 2015.
Yeah, it didn't take long, did it?
I bet it is. I bet they've thought about that, but certainly important. Because more, I think about it because more and more people are interacting with websites and those kinds of things, not on computers anymore, but on iPads or Kindle Fires or, you know, iPhones, whatever. So
yeah, definitely.
Speaking of iPhones, that is my first and top pick of 2014, the iPhone 6. I'm kind of leaning toward this being the best phone I've ever used. So from the size and weight to the quality to the battery life, which is awesome, to the even the screen size just seems to be just the right size for me, and Apple has just done a nice job with this phone, and I have no desire to use another one as my daily phone. Although I've got, you know, we've all have options. This just seems like a great tool for all kinds of things, and then you throw in the App Store and all the things that Apple brings, and another whole ecosystem that I hadn't even thought about is all of the accessories and the things that connect with the iPhone. And we've heard about things like automatic that'll, you know, interact with your car, heart rate monitors and blood pressure checkers and home automation thing, turning lights on, opening garage doors, that kind of stuff is just a whole system around the iPhone or the iOS system. I guess the one negative, if there is, and the camera's great, the one negative is probably not having anything to do with the hardware, but the iOS 8 I still think is kind of buggy. I get a few crashes once in a while in different apps. Keyboard gets a little wonky. I had that problem today when I was trying to type in OneNote on the iPad where I only had half a keyboard to work with and I couldn't close it, open it. I had to close the whole app down and restart it. So I'm sure Apple's working on that, but this is one of the buggier operating systems that they've ever released. But that aside, I think this is a great tool both for communication but also as a ministry tool.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I don't have a 6, I have a 5S, but yep. It's definitely my go-to device and always with me, so my camera of choice and my search tool of choice. We did a lot of tethering off of it when we...
Yep, that too, yeah.
Just lots of versatility there.
Okay. You got another pick for us?
I do. This one's kind of a tie. I actually favorited 2... see if I can share my screen because I can't talk and share at the same time. 2 different online design tools, kind of publishing type tools, where you can create things like imagery for Pinterest or whatever your area may be. The first one that I like is Canva at canva.com, and I did just different things. I'm showing on the screen an example of an image I found at Pixabay, which is a free image site, brought it in here and added some Bible verse to it. So just a really easy way to share a pretty picture on your Facebook page or whatever it may be. And they just have a large variety to choose from, a lot of different layouts and things that you can apply easily, but then you can also bring in your own imagery, and they have a lot that's available at a fee as well. So you can use some of their imagery for paying like $1 an image or whatever it may be, but you can also just use their layouts, delete their imagery, and add your own free imagery that you've obtained. And it's pretty straightforward to work with. You can add all kinds of text, different kind of background textures and things if you want to go that way, or you can get to your uploads. So pretty straightforward and fun to work with and an easy layout.
Awesome.
I also favorited PictoChart at PictoChart.com, which is more of a infographic kind of building tool. And I have on the screen an example I built to promote some technology training at MLC, just to show different types of training that were going to be available throughout the school year for our faculty and staff. And so again, I started with a pre-done layout and just edited to make it fit our needs and our terminologies and things like that. So if you're looking to build some infographics, or if you're a teacher and you want to give your students an opportunity to build infographics, I think PictoChart is definitely a good way to go. Lots and lots of really creative layouts that you can take advantage of there. So 2 different web-based tools for free for creating graphics.
Yeah, the Canva, the first one you mentioned, I think is a great tool for those congregations that maybe want to amp up the game a little bit when they're promoting, let's say, a sermon series or a particular Sunday, get that out on the website, keeping the website fresh with good imagery that represents a theme for the Sunday, whatever. A lot of people think, well, I don't have any artistic talent. It's going to be a real challenge for me. I don't know how to do Photoshop. I'm not a graphic designer. But tools like that really put it within the reach of almost anybody, the ability to grab an image and a Bible verse that is relevant to the topic of the day and come up with something pretty professional.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure about PictoChart, but Canva does have an iPad app. I've used it on my iPad as well, and it's very similar to this web experience and easy to do on the iPad as well. So definitely.
Let me do a quick screen share. My pick, I also have a co-pick, by the way. If you can do it, I can do it. Because they're not related, but they're on the same platform. And one of them is Day One, and this was a recent pick of mine. It's a journaling app that will work on all of the iOS platforms. There is no Android. I don't think there's an Android version. Let me take that back. Maybe they do have one, but I'm thinking not. So on iOS, so iPad, iPhone, Mac, laptops, and such, beautifully done and very straightforward journaling app where you click a plus button and you start typing. You can add images, you can add tags so that you can retrieve previous posts. There are reminders, there's a whole timeline, the ability to share as well, so you can write up a post and share it via Facebook or Twitter, so it can act as a kind of a journaling tool but also a social networking tool where people can click through and see online versions of something that you journaled about or an image that you took. Just a really simple, elegant way, and I've been, since I've started using it probably a month and a half, 2 months ago, been fairly faithful in keeping it up to date, at least an entry a day, and helps me in my Bible study as well as my prayer life too. So it gives me an opportunity to write through that, and that's kind of kept me on on the beam, so to speak, with my on my spiritual journey as well. And I've done different kinds of journals before, paper journals, and used OneNote and whatever, but this one seems to be sticking, and I like the way they've done it.
I like it that it nags you. I use one day one
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you use it too, right, Sally?
I do, and it'll remind me if
it,
I haven't.
And it will. Never every day it will. Mm-hmm. My second kind of related pick, and a pick that or an app that I'm using a lot every day, one of those everyday apps, is MyFitnessPal. Ever since my bout with the heart surgeon, I've really watched my calories, and MyFitnessPal is just one of the best apps at allowing you to count calories pretty easily, because that can be really burdensome to try and count those calories every one. But they have a huge database, and you can when we get a recipe online or whatever, Debbie picks a recipe online and makes it. Goodness knows I wouldn't make, can't make it. She does. She can just send me a link to it, and I can point MyFitnessPal at it, and it'll suck it in and do all the ingredients and come up with a calorie count for that dish per serving. So it's it makes it really easy to stay on top of things. Gives you goals for staying fit. If you have a weight loss goal or a weight gain goal, it'll tell you how many calories and what you should be avoiding or adding, or saying, hey, you're getting close to your sodium limit or whatever it is, your cholesterol, whatever. Just does a nice job with that. And this works on multiple platforms. I think this is iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, as well as a website. So that's MyFitnessPal. So that was one of my favorites, one that I use probably more than any other app on my phone at this point, after every meal and snack. So.
And Martin, I use that as well. I'm not logged in right now on my phone, but I think I am on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, on my phone, it has a step counter. So I'm not a Fitbit person.
It will integrate with or allow you to hook up with those kinds of step counters. Yep.
Okay.
The iPhone 5S, like you have, does do step counting, so it'll measure that. Or if you do a Fitbit, it'll track that as well. And then you get credit for that. So if you do exercise, if you walk your 10,000 steps or whatever it is, you'll get calorie credits for that, so you can eat more. So it's important to throw those in there as well.
Versatile tool.
Yep. You have one more?
I have two more.
Two more. I only have one
squeeze
more.
Them in there. The first one is a Wi-Fi. I don't know what they are. I'm not that great at this. Is it a router? The Unify?
Wi-Fi access point? Yeah.
Access point, just like it says there on the screen. We heard a lot about Ubiquiti's products this year, Martin, in 2014, And so much so that I recommended it to my husband. He checked it out, and we bought one for our home. I know a lot of our schools are going to Ubiquiti products to cover their needs for Wi-Fi access points, and we have been super happy with the one that we bought and are using in our home. And so much so that my son is really happy to invite all his friends here to play intense video gaming online. So it became the hottest spot for a lot of teenage boys.
It's the new water cooler.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, we had struggled in the past with, you know, we go upstairs with our devices or whatever, and all of a sudden the Wi-Fi isn't so great. And I can't say that to be the case any longer. We can even still get the Wi-Fi signal out in the garage out there. So it's a pretty powerful signal, and we've been really pleased with it. And I think we would say the same about many who have been on the podcast this year. I know Drew Willems talked about using it at Shoreland and others. I think James Karlofsky had mentioned they use it at Kettle Moraine as well. So many of the schools are looking at this as an option.
Good.
All right, one more quick mention before and this is kind of non-techie and just an honorable mention, but I would say that 2014 for me was the year of a Kanban board. And by that, I mean a board, and actually I have an image to share from MLC where we're using Kanban boards in our network services office, where we put post-it notes on the board to represent different projects, and we work them through when we're thinking about them, talking about doing them, working on them actively, or release them. And so we get this visual display of our project list. And I'm doing that with MLC coworkers, with Synod coworkers, and even at home. We even have a Kanban board for our family, Martin. And that has made a big difference for us. I think it adds a level of accountability. You typically have a short meeting maybe each morning to kind of say what I'm going to be working on for the day, and just kind of that sharing so everybody knows what's going on with all the different projects has really made a big difference in my productivity this year. So.
Very cool. I hadn't thought of that on the family level, especially when you've got multiple family members all going in different directions.
So. Definitely.
Okay. My last pick is, I referenced it earlier in the show, talking about my favorite episode, The State of Social Media, and that is a ebook, but it's also a blog post here, 5 Instagram Ideas for Churches. There's a whole series of these ebooks on different social media topics, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I picked Instagram because I believe that that is really something that's going to be front and center for a lot of churches and trying to figure out how to use imagery in their ministries. And Instagram is the platform, the social media platform for sharing images. They talk about a number of things here in the ebook, promoting a sermon series, crowdsource videos, which Instagram now accepts, inspiring images with scripture or quotes. You use the Canva tool that you talked about, one of your other picks. Youth Instagram youth ministry games, lots of different ways to use Instagram, and this whole ebook series I would highly recommend. Lauren Hunter was on the show and talked about them, and she co-wrote, and I think it's worth a look if your church is interested in figuring out how to use social media in your ministry plan. These books would be a good place to start.
Excellent.
What's next, Sally? Are we going straight to community feedback?
We could certainly do that. We have exhausted.
You make it sound like I'm skipping something, though.
We did. I guess maybe make quick mention of the fact that there were several contests that we ran in 2014. We had some people walk away with some great prizes, thanks to the Wells Tech podcast, and we all benefited greatly because the contests were around ministry resource ideas, listener reviews. We have a whole page with links to all kinds of reviews on different products and software solutions and websites and all kinds of things. And then we did a pastor's tech survey where we learned from pastors all the different tools that they're using. So through those three channels throughout the year, we learned a lot about new tech and ministry ideas. And so congrats to the winners. We gave away HymnSoft, we gave away a Nexus 7 tablet, and an Apple TV during 2014.
Very good. Yep.
So
Now community feedback.
Definitely. Time to jump to community feedback. All right. First up, we heard from someone you know, Martin, Pastor Dan Witte down at Risen Savior in Lakewood Ranch, Florida.
Yep. That's my brother-in-law. What did he have to say?
He had a recommendation for those who are interested in MuseScore. MuseScore is for...
open source notation software? Music
yes.
notation software.
Music notation software. And there is a new beta release of MuseScore 2.0, beta 2. So they've already been through one round of beta. They're back with another round of beta. And there's lots of new features. There's a video here that you can watch that they walk through many of the new features that are there and tell you about some of the things that changed even since their beta 1 release. So if you're a MuseScore user or are interested in some music notation software, check out this beta release and perhaps it'll do the trick for you. They've got versions for Windows, Mac, and it says Linux packages are on their way.
Good. Very good. Thanks for sharing that.
Next up, we heard from our friend Perry Lund, who teaches at Evergreen Lutheran High School, and he pointed us to highschoolcube.com, and it says that this site is for sharing high school moments live for free. So if you're a high school and you don't have live streaming yet, perhaps this is a solution you can use, highschoolcube.com. I know Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School is also using this now, Perry. Perry mentioned that they started using it with an iPad, streaming from an iPad on a tripod, and that's exactly what MVL is doing. But now he's purchased a couple of Handycams, Sony Handycams, and I think you can get these at a fairly reasonable price and get some really more professional quality imagery into your live stream. So we'll be waiting to hear from you, Perry, about the results of some of those enhancements that you're doing to your live streaming. And just another quick shout out to Perry. I read last night that he and his wife were at a restaurant and their car was broken into and he lost his Mac and iPad, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I give him all the credit. He says they're working through resetting passwords and security procedures, and I guess it's just kind of a warning to us to always, you know, be aware of our digital commodities and be able to respond if something drastic like that were to happen. So...
Be careful. Hope. And also, you know, there is definitely software out there that you can install that would give you the ability to remote wipe that so that that data, once they turn it on, is going to be gone. So that would be, especially if you do any kind of traveling or you have you run the risk of that. I know airports are notorious for that. It would be good things to think about in the new year.
Not the first time I've heard of it happening, unfortunately. So,
right.
Yeah. All right, our Wells Tech Listserv has been a bit busy these days, Martin. We heard from Ryan Rosenthal, who teaches at Faith in Fond du Lac, and Ryan is working on a teacher's conference presentation on Web 2.0 collaborative tools. And in an effort to enhance his presentation, he put together, guess what? A Google form, and he'd like for you guys to all go out and take his survey. So we'll include a link to that. He says he'll share the results with those that participate, and we can all learn together from this data that he gathers about Web 2.0 collaboration.
Great idea. Great use.
Also on the listserv, we heard from Leslie Bergerman. She says that her husband, Mark, is looking for some simple accounting software, preferably free. And this is in relation to the LutheranScience.org website and nonprofit organization that he's a part of. So they're just looking for something simple to keep up with some of their accounting functions with that organization. And so if you have any accounting software recommendations for Leslie and Mark Bergerman, then feel free to share them perhaps on the Wells Tech listserv, or if needed, you certainly could email wellstech@wells.net, and Martin and I will get that email routed to Leslie and Mark as well.
Great.
And then finally from the listserv, just a last-minute entry from Kathy Weigold at Christ in Oakley, Michigan. And Kathy says, my church is looking to change our membership management software. We currently use Microsoft Access, but Office Pro is so expensive that we'd like to move to something with a smaller price tag attached, a.k.a. free. Any suggestions? And interestingly, Martin, I think we do have a suggestion that, I mean, there's lots of different ways.
If you want to stay with Office products, you can go the free route. Office 365 for nonprofits, we've talked about in the past. You have to kind of live in the, you know, in the cloud, which, you know, may suit their needs. I mean, it's essentially the same as choosing Google, the Google products. So you are living in the cloud. There is also lower cost options. I believe it's $2 a month for the suite for nonprofits if you qualify. So you can investigate that. We'll put a link in the show notes. But there's you don't have to give up the quality that you get with the Microsoft products just because of price, especially if you are a nonprofit. So there's opportunity there to explore that. So you don't have to kind of go a totally different direction.
Definitely. All right, I'm going to jump then over to DIGO, where a couple of links are worth mentioning. First, from Tim Gablehouse, the left-sider download. He says it allows you to move your Windows controls to the left. As he moves between Mac at work and Windows at home, I'm always moving to the wrong side of the window to minimize or close it. This tool will fix that problem. So check out left-sider. I'll show a quick screen view of that. If you are mainly a Mac person who wants your Windows to behave a little bit better so that your brain isn't scrambled, it's a free download, it looks like. So right. Check it out.
Speaking of DIGO, Sally, this is a little off topic. I don't know if you've been in DIGO lately and tried to add things to lists. That has changed. That whole paradigm has changed to this thing called an outliner.
I did see that.
If I'm reading it correctly, your current list can be migrated to the outliner, but if you want to create new outliners, that's a premium feature.
Oh, wow, and that's something I've made use of a lot.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about that. If that's true, I don't know if any of our listeners or viewers have any experience with that. It just happened in December, so I hadn't been there in a couple weeks over the holidays, but I was putting together a list of different links I wanted to take. We were doing a little antique shopping. I did some research and wanted to create some links to different shops we were going to visit. And I couldn't actually add it to a list. I had to, I gave up and used OneNote, but I wanted to use DIGO because that's a great application for it. But they're using this new concept called Outliner. So maybe that is available kind of in that in the teacher edition for free, but it's definitely maybe their way of trying to stay afloat and make some money.
We'll see how that develops, but I bet there's a lot of people out there looking for new options, so we'll see. All right, one more from DIGO, just a quick link I'll throw in the show notes from me, and it was just something I came across, Google's live streaming guide. So it's step-by-step if you want to live stream using your YouTube account. I shouldn't have said Google. I meant YouTube, which is part of Google. But specifically with your YouTube account, you can live stream if you are in good standing. And you can turn that on in your account features, and then it walks you through how to make use of that.
Yep. Basically using the same technology we use because Google Hangouts, you know, goes up to YouTube.
Right. And I'm about to lose my voice. I've got one more.
Dying over there. One more to go. You can do it.
Back to share. It's from our great friend Jason Schmidt, who said, I don't know what rock I've been living under, but I just found Twitter Analytics. So he tweeted us the link, analytics.twitter.com. And if I can make my screen share work one more time, you can see our analytics for our Wells Tech site. So you can see how much engagement you've got, how many link clicks you have, and those kind of things. And you can actually promote things. You can see your tweets and replies, all kinds of things about engagement and that kind of thing. So looks to be very thorough. I know I've looked at Facebook analytics quite a lot, but I never knew there was Twitter analytics to this extent. So check it out.
I don't know what those numbers mean that you're showing there, Sally, but it looks impressive. 1.9K impressions over a 28-day period. That sounds good.
It does.
I'll have to do a little more research. I did not. Maybe I had heard that this was out there, but I really need to do a little bit more research. And that's really an encouragement, I think, for congregations and schools in general, is to use the analytics tools that you have, Google Analytics or whatever, just to see how you're doing with your efforts. It's just good stewardship to make sure that all the hard work or even sometimes money that you're putting into an effort is worth it. So you want to make sure that the strategy is sound, and you can do one of those touch points is to figure out how to see how many people are watching or visiting, and if it's not the numbers you want to see, either stop doing it or do it differently, change your strategy.
Very good.
All right, we don't have a video this week, but we do have an encouragement that, or do we have a video this week?
We do have a video.
Well, you came up with it all by yourself?
Just to surprise
you. Which you normally do.
No, I don't.
Oh, there it is. It was off the screen. What's our featured video this week?
It's actually from our friends at Divine Savior Lutheran Academy, which is down in Doral, Florida. Quite the school they have going down there.
Yeah.
Beautiful website, DivineSaviorAcademy.com. And I came across this promotional video for their pre-K program. Excellently done, and I think it would be a good model for anyone who wants to put together a promotional video. This isn't the only one. We'll include a link in their show notes, and you can explore their website. They have a lot of great video stuff going on their website. So use them as a model, and maybe 2015 is the year that you'll do some promotional video work for your congregation or school.
It's actually easier than you think. Before we jump to what's going on next week, just an encouragement if you'd like to contribute to the show like all the good people did this past week, we'd really love you to do that. And it's so easy to do if you go to wellstech.wells.net and leave a comment on one of the shows, one of the show note episodes down there at the bottom. Just click comment and you're good to go. But across the top, there's all of our social networking locations, including Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, of course. The listserv link is there. You can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Or you can communicate with Sally or I directly. We'll kind of make its way, you know, those kind of comments, if you're willing, will make their way to the show, and we'd be happy to share them. So lots of good stuff there.
You didn't mention they can send us a voicemail as well, Martin.
Yeah, maybe we should make that a New Year's resolution, get some voicemails in the system here.
Love to include their voice on the next Wells Tech episode.
Yep, love to do that. Next week, we continue our book discussion, What's Best Next, Part 4, if you're following along at home. What is it called? Architect, Create a Flexible Structure. That's the A after the D. What is it? D-A-R-E.
The acronym is DARE. And last time we did Define, so this is Architect.
Yep. And this one I found, I think I've turned the corner with this book, Sally. It's a little suspicious, and it got a little too, I mean, he made a point, but he made it too many times, I think, in these chapters. Now, this chapter, or these chapters that we're going to talk about, really resonated with me and kind of actually changed my behavior for the better, I hope. So I think you're going to want to tune in next week and listen to us talk about how to architect that daily, how you pick and choose what goes on during your day and how you might structure that. So tune in next week for that.
Good discussion. Looking forward to it.
Are we out of ammunition here, Sally?
I'm out of voice, so we better stop.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the new year. We look forward to hopefully one that God will bless for us here on the Wells Tech Podcast. See you next week. Bye-bye.